Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Today, I'm joined by legendary actor and Barney Miller himself, Mr. Hal Linden.
Hi. God, legendary. I don't know about that.
Well, anybody who's been on your caliber and stayed there, I consider legendary, so.
Well, thank you. Alive. I'll struggle for alive.
Okay, the alive Hal Linden.
There you go.
All right. Well, I just want to tell people, first off, at the time of this recording, you are 93 years young.
There you go.
93.
I'm just 2 months shy of 94.
I was going to say, yeah. Do you have any plans for your 94th birthday?
Actually, I'm doing a few days before it. We're doing a show at local theater in La Mirada, Journals of Adam and Eve that we did in New York, but doing it with Shelley Shrub, the show. I'll be preparing for that most of the time. The kids may come up with something exciting. I don't know.
Will you jump out of an airplane like George W. Bush did for his
90s? Nope, that I can guarantee not.
Okay, sounds good.
The closest I ever came to skydiving was skiing.
Okay.
The first, when you go over the edge and start a ski run, until the first turn, you're in free fall.
Yes.
That's the closest I'll ever get to skydiving, is that first section of a ski run. Unfortunately, I don't ski anymore, so. And interestingly, that's about the only thing I really miss that I can't do anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be my next question, if you still skied at all. But I know out there in Los Angeles, there's not much snow, so I guess not too much skiing anymore.
Well, I was a skier. I had a place for years in Park City, Utah, skiing.
Oh, okay. Oh. So would you go out there like once or twice a year and just ski?
That's basically it, yes.
Okay. Now, so I want to start out with your early career, Hal. So we all know you best for Barney Miller, but it was music that really was your first love beforehand, because you did that in the Army, right? And then you toured around with the big bands?
Well, you're jumping a little.
Oh, okay.
I started studying music. My father was a music lover. He knew nothing about music, but he loved to go to concerts, and he decided that the next generation should at least learn about music so they could appreciate concerts more. Consequently, there were eight male cousins who were all given music lessons. I was the youngest of the eight. Hmm. And of the even though the premise was just that we would learn about music so we could appreciate it at concerts, at one point six of the eight were professional musicians. Wow. And I mean professional musicians. I'm talking first chair viola of the NBC Symphony. Wow. I'm talking concert master of the Golden Band. I'm talking my brother was a viola. Violist in orchestras all his life and ended up one of the premier viola teachers in America. Really good musicians. I was following along, and if I had the slightest bit of discipline in my life, I probably would have spent it in the first chair of a major symphony. I was a very good clarinet player.
Okay. Did you also play the saxophone at all?
Well, that's what happened. Hormones took over. At the age of puberty, I discovered that more girls went to dances than went to concerts. So I switched to the saxophone. Well, I didn't switch, I added the saxophone and became a jazz musician. I was part of the very tail end of the big band era. I played with some of them. More interesting big bands just before they all disbanded in the early 50s. Boyd Rayburn and Les Brown. Some of these, I didn't play with Kenton or Woody Herman or Tommy Dorsey or Clyde Miller, but I played with some very interesting big bands in the very tail end of the big band era.
You mentioned
and my switching to the theater was pure accident.
Oh, that wasn't your original plan to go to the theater?
I never went to the theater even as a musician. I was purely a musician till I was discharged from the army. I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
Before I set foot on the stage, I was 24. That's most people, the theatrical career started about 12. Sure. I had no interest in theater until I was leaving the army. Interesting. Yeah. Actually, in the army is when I started doing soldier shows and things like that, and that got me interested in it. Gave it a shot when I got out, and there we go. That was the end of my musical career.
Because you were quoted as saying you thought that your whole career would pretty much be spent in doing music or something musical.
I certainly figured that, but then I gave theater a shot, and the next thing I know, I changed careers.
Now, so looking back on your life, are you surprised about how maybe the music thing didn't quite go the way you thought, and then the acting thing happened the way that?
Well, the music didn't go the way I thought because it changed. Oh, yeah. When I went into the service, it was the very top of the big band era, the best of the big band era. You had Woody Herman and Stan Kenton and Sorta Finnegan and Count Basie, Duke Ellington, you name it. It was the best part of big band jazz.
Big band.
That's what I went in. When I got out, they were all disbanded, and there was now Bill Haley and the Comets.
Well, you mentioned jazz. I'm here in Kansas City, so big jazz city here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Into the museum.
Oh, well, you have, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Count Basie was actually from here, lived in Kansas City,
right.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I wanted to say how me and a friend of mine rewatched Time Changer with you and Gavin McLeod and Paul Rodriguez.
That's yes.
One of the best films that I've ever seen.
Okay. I don't really remember it. It was quite a while ago.
Well, yeah. So I don't
picking it with Gavin.
Gavin, yeah.
Yeah.
And being the Christian guy that I am, I certainly did appreciate that film. And
that's right. That was a religious film. That's right. It was a Christian guy. If I remember correctly, I was the guy who didn't believe.
Yes. The guy that did not believe. Yes.
That's me.
And since we're, I guess, down this road, I know that you are a Jewish man yourself, and you've been on the Jewish National Fund. Has Judaism always, or have you been a practicing Jew throughout your life? Did you ever go?
I am a non-practicing Jew.
Practicing Jew, okay.
Non-practicing. It's interesting. Almost the entire country of Israel are non-practicing Jews, but the joke in Israel is the synagogue that I don't go to is Orthodox.
So
my relationship with Israel is not religious; it's tribal.
Okay.
Okay.
So, do you do like a Hanukkah at all, or do you do any of the holidays?
We did when my wife was alive. My wife, who was not Jewish, was the one who kind of did all the lit the candles at Hanukkah and had a Seder Passover. Okay. She was among kind of, in order to bring the kids up with a sense of self and tribal connection, if you will, was the one who did the ceremonies. I was never a I'm a confirmed agnostic, so it's difficult for me to do any of that.
Okay. Fair enough. That's fair enough. Now, speaking of acting, I know that you're celebrating a big milestone. You play Barney Miller, and you're celebrating 50 years of Barney Miller.
Yes, is that something? 50 years ago we started it. Wow.
And it happened in the early 70s, early to mid 70s. And so what's that?
We finally went on the air.
So what's that?
That's 50 years ago.
Yes, 50 years ago. And for those that may not have seen the show, it's about a police officer, and you guys pretty much stay inside the precinct while I see a lot of cop shows like go out into the field and try and catch the criminal.
The Joe Wambaugh, I don't know if you remember the name, he was a former policeman who had many bestsellers about police life. Joe Wambaugh said that Barney Miller was the most authentic police show on the air. He didn't say best, he said most authentic. And the reason being, that's where most police work is done, is in the creating sources of information, getting information, recording the information, distributing the information. Mm-hmm. That's all grunt work. It's all work done at a desk, basically. If you ask detectives, retired detectives, how many times in your career did you fire your weapon in anger? That is eliminating target practice, but actually discharge your weapon in the course of duty. The largest answer I ever got was twice.
Mm.
Most of them said never.
Yeah.
Detectives said never shot their weapon in anger. You watch a police action show and they're, you know, running down the alleys firing weapons. It's not the norm. The norm is what you saw in Barney Miller, sitting down and taking a statement and checking out the whether it's true or not. It's all grunt work most of the time.
Yeah, and that's the one that I mean. You mentioned that now. I mean, the big shows like Law and Order or Magnum PI or name any one of them. They don't show that part of it too much. It was
it's dull work. That really, that's why Joe Wambaugh said it was the most authentic show, because it showed police life as it really is. We had, in the beginning, we had experts, you know, police experts on the set to make sure we didn't do anything or say anything that was inauthentic. Mm. And we finally, you know, got the idea of how it functions.
So having worked on a police show yourself, do you watch any of the other police shows on TV?
Not really. Yeah, okay. Remember, Barney Miller was a comedy.
Yeah.
It was intended to show the humorous part of that work. However, if you watch it, you rarely see any cop humor.
Yeah.
That is one of the limitations that the producer, creator of Barney Miller laid on us, was that we always had to be functioning police officers. We couldn't do silly things that would, the way he put it was, if we came up with a funny bit or something, he would say, "Would you go for help to a police officer who behaves like that?" That was the the guiding principle to the limitations to our kinetic behavior. So the comedy was kind of limited to the people who were either arrested or were complaining about something. Our reaction was basically reactive humor.
And Hal, my mom wanted me to ask you, do you and Max Gale still see or talk to each other?
We do. Unfortunately, Max and I are the only surviving members of the cast. Yeah. The full-time cast. Yes, Max now lives in San Francisco, but every time he comes down to L.A., we manage a dinner or two.
Oh, good, good. And so, yeah, that was the one thing I asked. My mom wanted me to ask you was, does Hal and Max still get together? Because she is a huge Barney Miller fan. So,
yes, we're still very friendly. Yeah.
So now you're doing a show that you had mentioned earlier in the conversation called Journal of Adam and Eve.
That's correct. Written by Ed Weinberger. Ed Weinberger was one of the showrunners on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, one of the creators of Taxi. So he's a real veteran of sitcom comedy. A funny man, a little nuts, but a funny man.
I know, and Ed, wasn't working with Ed Asner before he passed away on a couple of... Yeah.
Right. He was working with Ed Asner. I'm kind of the Ed Asner replacement, unfortunately. Ed passed away some years ago. And he contacted me, and we kind of continued on with what he was working on with Ed. But then he had a display. The Journals of Adam and Eve that I did with Sally Struggles, and then in New York with Mary Lou Henner. And we're going to do it this one performance at La Mirada, which is a theater near here, in March, and kind of preparing to kind of remount it.
And so, Hal, I have one final question for you, sir, and... what advice do you give to someone who wants to get into the whole entertainment Hollywood game? Go down that road.
Well, it depends why you want to get into it. If you want to get into it because it's exciting, I have no advice for you. If you want to get into it because it's the only thing that you can do, and you want to spend your life creating either comedy or tragedy or whatever, take a deep breath and go ahead. There are no shortcuts, just learning your craft and executing your craft. And if you're lucky, you'll get good stuff. And if you're not lucky, you won't. But if it's the only thing you can do with your life, step out.
Absolutely. Well, Hal, thank you so much for your time, sir. It's been a pleasure and an honor to get to talk to you, sir. And hopefully you'll come to Kansas City with the Journals of Adam and Eve. I'd love to see you.
I think Sally is there, or is going to be there, or was just there. I don't recall. I've done shows at the New Theater. Many of them.
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, over in Kansas.
Right. And possibly we'll end up doing another one. Who knows?
Sounds good, sir. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Sir, buddy. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.